Action. The pot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
Snake Alley on GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio. I'm your host, Bob Noxious, and we'll be joined by film expert and local film and commercial video producer Jeff Reinhart a little later to talk about some great B-movies. First, I'll tell you about what we just heard. We heard The Minutemen, and both these numbers were from Live at the Stone out in San Francisco, California, January 12, 1984. First, we heard Dream as Told by Moto. Then we heard I Felt Like a Gringo. The reason I've been playing a lot of Minutemen lately is because they're on my mind. The DVD of their documentary, We Jam Econo, Story of the Minutemen, should be out soon. It's been screening around the country since late May, and it hasn't hit St. Louis. If it did, I missed it, but that's no big deal. I miss a lot. So I'm going to remind you, warn you that this episode of Snake Alley is going to be quite explicit with a lot of the four-letter words in it. So because if you have any young children in the room, well, you might not want to let them listen to this.
Much of this material has been described as an illustrated, detailed course in perversion, abnormal sex, crime, and violence. It is also a fact that no matter who buys this material, 75 to 90% of it ends up in the hands of our children.
Whoa, that makes things legal. let's go ahead and listen to some music. But first, this important commercial announcement.
The fear of the year is here. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde, a monster he could not control, have taken over his very soul. A screaming demon rages inside, turning him into Mr. Hyde, an unstoppable black Superman. Super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde, when you're seeing what ain't, you're looking at a haint. Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde, starring Bernie Casey, Rosalind Cash, Stu Gillum, directed by William Blackula Crane. Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parents, so bring your mama, she'll like it too.
Alright, we're gonna do what we always do, a few different fucking sets. We're under a little bit of time pressure, but that don't give a fuck, I guess. So let's go straight to hell, goddammit.
Live in Vino's in Little Rock, Arkansas. Can you tell? Let's all go to the drive-in.
Do you dare pit your sanity against our marathon of fright? Shock follows shock. Your breath comes in gasps, hearts falter. Then, the mind explodes. For the unlucky ones, a straitjacket and a free trip to the booby hatch. See the grisly, macabre marathon of fright and learn your fate. Will it be life or living death?
Invading steadily southward. Their ports of a new species, the giant killer shrew.
Jeff, what are we going to look at today?
We will be looking at the late 50s low-budget Z-grade classic, The Killer Shrews, with none other than James Best and Ken Curtis, who incidentally also produced it. Ken Curtis did.
Yeah. James Best is best known as Roscoe P. Coltrane on The Dukes of Hazzard. And, of course, Ken Curtis is best known as Festus Hagen on the long-running TV series Gunsmoke. We're going to go ahead and take a little bit of clip of the thing, and we're going to take a look at the killer shrews in attack mode here. That was Ken Curtis playing a very drunk Jerry. I think his name is almost like Fellow, pretty close to Falwell there.
That's right.
And he's trying to talk the first guy to really get it, you know, by the killer shrews. Talk about the shrews. They're German shepherds, right?
They were German shepherds, customized to look like shrews, with like they used crepe hair skins attached with. I believe it was elastic over their torso, and also plastic teeth.
Oh, the extended tails, too.
And the extended tails, what they would do is for the close-ups, they would use a mock-up hand puppet.
Yeah. Yeah, those are pretty evident. And it is a riot. It's really good. That's, again, this is one of the free movies you can download off of archive.org. It's a feature film, found in feature film area. And it's a pretty good print. I mean, there's some parts where the encoding, it gets kind of goofy. But, you know, for a free flick and, you know, it being bad, I mean, it belongs up there.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's the directorial debut or the special effects of the director, Ray Kellogg. And I wouldn't be too proud of that. I mean, the things are German shepherds, and they look like when the Three Stooges had to replace the kidnapped dog Gossam.
Gossam.
And they had to glue the mattress hair and use some dye. You know?
And the colored maid was vacuuming the carpets, and the dog was chewing up the carpet, and she accidentally got the vacuum cleaner too close to the dog and sucked the fur right off the son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if she would have been there with her vacuum cleaner on the island of the killer shrews. A quick synopsis of that is Killer Shrews is from 1959. It was made to appear. They made both these movies at the same time, The Giant Gila Monster. Both of them produced by Ken Curtis.
Right.
And
you know, what's also interesting about Ken Curtis is he started out not as an actor, but as a singer. He was one of the original Roy Rogers singers, the Sons of the Pioneers in the 40s. He later branched out into acting at Republic Studios, which was the main Hollywood headquarter for most of the B-Westerns. At one time, they not only had Roy Rogers under contract, but also Gene Autry and John Wayne.
He also sang for Tommy Dorsey.
That's right.
And he grew up in a little town in Texas. And he's real, really, I mean, he did have the hillbilly beginning, and he ended up going back to Festus, and you say that pretty well that FA is pretty well alcoholic, and like he is in this movie. He plays the heavy in this movie,
yeah.
which is really weird. He's not a friendly guy. He's the heavy. He ends up getting his.
One of the other facts is actually that Ken Curtis was a very close drinking buddy to John Wayne. They used to go on John Ford's, famous director John Ford's yacht for the weekend, and would just pack it away.
I'd love to have been there.
Hey, you guys, take a look at me. Yo, baby, can't you see? Hey, everybody, I'm so high. Hey, everybody, how about you drunk, John? Later, Martin, please. I'm on a bender, hear my keys. 'Cause the band that's here sure is rockin'. Let the girls come and knock it. 'Cause I'm
too drunk to drive.
I'm drunk again.
Too drunk to drive.
It's like I'm seeing a drunk drive. Catch up.
From 1956, The Indestructible Man, starring Lon Chaney Jr. Of course, they didn't call him Junior.
Actually, there's a story behind Lon Chaney Jr.'s real name. He was born Creighton Tull Chaney. His mother's maiden name was Cleva Creighton. And when he first broke into pictures in 1932, he went under his real name of Creighton Chaney. Only one problem. The studios starved him into using Lon Chaney Jr. for marquee value from the dead Lon Chaney Sr.'s fame. And that's just a little story to let you know on how he actually got the name Lon Chaney Jr. The studios starved him into it. When Lon Chaney Sr. died in 1930, Lon Chaney Jr. had not even tried yet to become an actor. His father wouldn't allow him to. He had like an iron grip on his son. And Chaney Sr. told him that if he tried to become an actor, he would cut him off without a penny.
Most people will know that who Lon Chaney Jr. is, but he was the Wolfman.
Of course.
And it was like in 1932, right?
Actually, the Wolfman 35. Came out in 1942.
Holy cow.
And as it goes with the simulation of a little bit of Lon Chaney Jr. here.
But you don't understand, when the moon is full, I become a werewolf.
He never did howl when he was out of, the werewolf.
He always howled off screen. Yeah.
That's the first movie that I remember trying to go to sleep at night, closing my eyes at 3 years old, trying to close my eyes and seeing the transformation of the Wolfman.
That's like one of the best things about Lon Chaney Jr. playing the Wolfman was that was his role. He might have played the Frankenstein monster and the mummy and various other monsters for Universal Pictures, but he regarded the Wolfman role as his baby.
Okay, let me set this up. The Indestructible Man's from 1956. He's a violent criminal, and he was set up, and he's brought back to life.
I'm trying to remember his name in the movie. I think it was Charles Butcher.
It is. No, it's Charles the Butcher.
The Butcher, yeah.
Yeah, he was the Butcher. And
what's also interesting about this is...
Butcher Benton.
What also is interesting about this is Lon Chaney Jr. would tell the director the first thing in the morning on the day of shooting, get my best shots by noon, because after that, I'm going to be plastered. Literally.
So he drank a little bit, yeah.
What he would do is, like in the, there's an episode of Tales of Tomorrow, a live program from the early 1950s.
In public domain.
He did a telecast of Frankenstein live.
Freaking horrible.
And you can fucking see him picking up spirit gum pots and bowls and downing bourbon out of them.
The Butcher, Lon Chaney, the primary, and this is brought back to life by a mad scientist using electricity. He becomes this invulnerable mute. And they try to stab scissors into his hand. They try to shoot him. And he's impenetrable. And he seeks vengeance on these other guys that set him up for, I think, an armored car robbery. And he's got $750,000 somewhere or something like that. And it's full of goofs. God, he looks horrible in it.
No, it's like, I should tell you this and mention it. The nightly eat-off when he was playing the Wolfman and the Frankenstein monster and the mummy, the nightly eat-off of the acetone, because this is what the fuck they used back then, to take off the spirit gum and the latex and the makeup, literally turned his skin, his face, into like parched leather. And like he aged almost overnight. If you look at him in The Wolfman in 1942 and reflect back on him in 1948 from Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, the damage is already done.
All right. We're going to go ahead and listen to just a little clip. He doesn't have much of a speaking role throughout the movie because he gets executed, and this is before he gets executed, and he vows to get the criminals. Let's take a listen here.
Well, that's it, Butcher. The evidence against you was so strong, the governor turned down your appeal.
You're a rotten liar, Lowe. You started railroading me from the beginning of the trial, and now you're still trying to throw me curves.
Look, I don't blame you for being edgy, but get this straight. I didn't double-cross you. I never worked harder for a client.
You mean you never worked harder for a client to get him sentenced?
You're a fool, Butcher. If you hadn't tried to double-cross Queen Leelis and Joe Marcella, they wouldn't have turned state's evidence against you. But you had to get greedy. You wanted to keep the whole $600,000 for yourself. Well, the boys got sore, and I don't blame them.
It was all your idea. You planned the whole job. You hired us. When you found out I'd staged the money, you decided it was time for me to die. You got those two crumbs to turn state's evidence on me. You stinking rotten mouthpiece.
We both know that isn't true, Butcher. Now look, what's the sense in not giving me the money? It's not going to do you any good.
Well, I'll have the satisfaction of knowing that none of you three crumbs are going to spend it.
What about Eva? Don't you owe her something? You tell me where the money is, I'll see that she gets your share.
I've got a different idea. I'm going to kill you and Squeamy and Joe. Then I'll take care of Eva myself.
You thick-headed ape, you're going to die tomorrow.
Remember what I said? I'm going to get you, all three of you.
Even for you, Butcher, that'd be quite a trick. So long, dead man.
Remember what I said. I'm going to kill you. All three of you.
This was the first movie that was ever filmed inside San Quentin.
That is correct.
San Quentin was brand new when they filmed that movie there, so there's a little historical value to it.
Yeah, because like Lon Chaney Jr. in a later interview in Famous Monsters of Filmland with Forrest J. Ackerman said that he had actually in films, parts that he played in movies, he had been shot, drowned, electrocuted, choked to death, every imaginable form of a horrible death he had had to portray in the films he had made over the years.
Ah, so San Quentin was even worse.
Well, see, it was like...
It was brand new.
What was weird was a year after he made The Indestructible Man, they also went back to San Quentin and shot a film called Big House USA.
Okay, so back to The Indestructible Man, right after you hear on the radio that the butcher, all the bad guys and his girlfriend, everybody listen to it on the radio. They hear that the butcher's been executed. Mad Professor's played by, who's that?
Robert Shane, Inspector Henderson of Superman.
Okay, and he's assisted, his lab assistant, and a guy who went and paid for the body, picked up the body at the morgue, is the guy to play Captain Bingham
Captain Binghamton on McHale's Navy, Joe Flynn.
Joe Flynn. And it's almost comical to see these two guys trying to resurrect this corpse. The funny thing is, they're using electricity to resurrect him, and that's what killed him in the first place.
Yeah.
And they mispronounce syringe. They pronounce syringe like three or four different ways during this syringe. And then Flynn, the lab assistant, corrects them. And there's a ton of mistakes in this movie, which makes it real good. Other than seeing the indestructible man, Lon Chaney Jr., stumbling around. He's got to be hammered.
Like I said, he was drunk on his fucking ass.
So they shot this one in the afternoon.
Yeah, they shot this right after noon lunch and cocktails.
And that's about it. He goes out and he gets everybody. Then he goes back, he gets his revenge. They can't stop him. Bullets can't stop him. I don't know. It doesn't go too far from that, but it does end up with him getting blown up with flames and stuff like that again. So typical demise for Lon there.
And it's like Lon Chaney Jr. summed up in an interview in later years, "I've died 1,000 times." I'd like to take the time now to let you know how much I really enjoy working on these shows with you.
Yep, well, you can thank Copper and Bill Streeter for providing the opportunity to post these shows on GaragePunk.com Pirate Radio. Be sure also to visit the GaragePunk.com forums, and you can find all the movies and most of the music covered today at archive.org up on the internet. Be sure also to listen to the Wayback Machine on KDHX FM 88.1 if you're in the St. Louis area. If not, you can listen online and subscribe to Lo-Fi St. Louis. That's Bill Streeter's video blog site. Lots of cool videos up there. Something really new, too. So, Bill, this one here is for you.
And I'd like to dedicate the fuck chair tonight to three people, menage a trois, Condoleezza Rice, Tony Blair, and George W. Bush. And any war veterans or friends and family of war veterans who might be here in the audience tonight. Give me an F!
F!
Give me a U!
U!
Give me a C!
C!
Give me a K!
K!
What's that spell?
Stop!
What's that spell?
Stop!
What's that spell?
Stop!
What's that spell?
Stop!
Oh, yeah. Come on, all you women and men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam. Way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books, pick up the gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up pearly gates. It ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die. Come on, Wall Street, don't be slow. Oh, man, this is war, a go-go. There's plenty good money to be made. Supplying the army with the tools of the trade. Just hope and pray if you drop the bomb, you drop it on the Viet Cong. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up pearly gates. Yeah, it ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, well, gone. Here we go. Don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die. Hey, la ba ba ba. Thank you very much. Goodbye.